should we just figure out the third?
That's fine. No, we're fine. Yeah. They leave in the middle. It's fine.
They
leave in the middle. It's fine. Okay.
We are holding on Yud Gimel. We're holding on Yud Gimel on the bays, four lines from the bottom.
Okay. We were discussing our Mishnah had talked about the fact that if you have a woman who's not capable of doing a bezikah, for herself, for example, she's a shaita, then what do you do in order to make sure that she's taher? You have friends do it. You have friends do the bezikah and check it for her. So that led to, what do you mean? Exactly what it sounds like. You have a special needs woman. Let's say you have another woman do the bezikah and check it for her. So that led us into a similar discussion. What about if you have a man, a kohen, for example, who's a shaita? You want to check that he's taher in order to be able to eat truma. So if he was a regular person, fine, he could check himself and see whether he was tummy. But he being a shaita, you can't do that. So we had a couple of different opinions about it. One was, and the last thing we said was that we should make him a pouch for his genitals made out of metal. And Rabbi said specifically made out of copper. The idea is copper doesn't absorb. It's very non-absorbent of liquid. Therefore, even if there's a tiny drop of shichas zera or ziva or whatever, we'll find it. But, yeah. So in the course of that, discussion, Rabbi Yezibur, you make an underwear for him. You make it out of metal. Anyway, for that area specifically. In that connection, Rabbi Yezibur of Tzadik had said that you should make him a pouch made out of leather. Problem is, the Chachamim told him that that's maybe the day chimum. That's going to cause that area is going to get heated up. First of all, that itself is it could cause him to become talmid with Terry, even if he wasn't going to before. But besides that, also the previous Gemara, the first Mishnah in our the first Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek, and the Gemara about it talked about the seriousness of making sure that you don't put yourself in a position where the Aver is going to get heated up, which can cause a person to be Moti Zerol Avatala. So Amar Papa, says in this connection, Shmamina, we see from what the Chachamim are saying, that the Chachamim are arguing that if you make him a pouch made out of leather to put around that area, then it's going to heat things up. So we see from that, Mechnasayim Asurim, we see from that, says Rav Papa, that you're not allowed to wear Mechnasayim, meaning like underwear or pants or whatever. Yeah, Mechnasayim basically means, so you have, now, so that's the question. What about though the Pasuk says that you should make breeches for the Kohanim to cover the flesh of their Eva? So they're added out of their sanctuary wearing them. The answer is, who can attend that? The answer is those Nichnasayim were made in a special way. Like we learn in a Braisa. Nichnasay Kohanim Lamahin German. What do the pants that the Kohanim wore, what do they resemble? Kamin Pamalmiya Shal Parashim. They resemble the riding breeches that people wear, like that horsemen, that armies on horses wear. Namely, Lamaila Admasnayim. They go on up above, they go until the waist. Lamasa adyerechayim, they go down on the legs, so they're sort of like boxers, in other words, they're sort of like boxer shorts, they go down until the thighs. The yeshlehem shnuffin, they have, hold on. The yeshlehem shnuffin, they have drawstrings to get them tight around the waist and around the bottoms of the legs. But the einlehem loy beis hanekev loy beis ha'erva. The mishnasayim of the kohenim do not have a beis hanekev or beis ha'erva. So what does that mean? So Rashi, one second, hold on. So Rashi gives two explanations, what Beis HaNekev and what Beis HaErev is. Beis HaErev would be something for the front, and Beis HaNekev would be something for the back. Rashi's first explanation is that the pants were made in such a way, they didn't fit snugly between their legs. They fit more loosely, like you have, in other words, it's a solid thing until below, like you have, for example, for shorts over here, instead of that with regular underwear that we're familiar with, it goes in over here by the crotch. Over here, it would go further down than that, only about over here would it divide for the two legs. So therefore, it divides lower down, so therefore it's not going to heat up. The Aver, exactly. That's Rashi's first explanation. And also Rashi explains, the point is, first of all, on the front, you don't want it to be too high up because then you'll have the problem of ear hurt. As far as the back, you don't want because then it's going to get, you know how sometimes when you wear underwear, it sometimes gets wedged in over there in the back, and it would be ignite for Big Dick Kodesh to be wedged in that area of the bottom, the crack of it. No, but the mechasayim, no, the kohenim wore them under their psoinim. They wore them directly on their skin. No, but that's exactly the point. But that's why Rashi is saying, that's why, according to that first explanation of Rashi, that's why they would only divide for the legs further down, not right at the crotch. That way they're not going to get wedged in over there, and it won't be ignited. Rashi's second explanation is that based on nekav and based on erva. Okay, but it's still gnai for big day kodesh. The fact is, first of all, in Masechet Talmud it talks about that, for example, the kohenim who aren't going to be serving in the Beth Mikdash that day, they would be wearing big day kohuna, preparing in case they're going to be. But if it turns out they weren't picked for any of the avodas that day, they have to change out of the big day kohuna, and there you have the shamoshim over there, the chazonim, as it calls them over there in the Mishnah, would help them get undressed and put away the clothes, and all they have on is the mechnasayim. So yes, at some point they're going to be standing there in front of these shamoshim wearing only the mechnasayim. So at that point, for sure you'd see it. But for chal, though, the big day kodesh would be a gnai to have them wedged in. Anyway, that's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation is based on nekav and based on erva refers to that they would make, like you have now in pants, you have an underwear, you have a fly over there, you have a hole there, you have an opening over there that you can use in order to, in front, and they would have one in back as well. So this way, instead of having to pull them down in order to go to the bathroom, a person could stick out his aver through the front hole or stick or open up the back hole enough to, so that there would be strings to close it, so they didn't have that. They were made solid in front and back, and therefore, I guess if the kohen has to go to the bathroom, he'd have to take them off, or he'd have to pull them down in order to go. Anyway, the point is that those mechnasayim were not made in such a way that they're going to be closely around the aver and cause any problems. So the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch. The fact is, I mean, the Gemara is saying over here that you're not supposed to wear mechnasayim, but what is that talking about? Of course, everybody wears pants. Yeah, different acronyms talk about the Pisa Tshuva, and others talk about that maybe it's talking about Davka, if they're closely wrapped around the aver. Something maybe more like a Speedo or something would be a problem, because then they're going to warm it up and then cause hero and cause and then kind of cause to be mochi zero or trouble. But if we're talking about just like regular boxer underwear or pants or whatever, or maybe even briefs, then it wouldn't be such a problem, because they're not briefs. Are it's like you have two different kinds of underwear, right? Your boxers and your briefs. But they're a little more close fitting, but they're not quite as close fitting as like a Speedo or something. So then maybe there's less of an issue with those. Exactly, right. So that's the point that Pisa Tshuva is making, is particularly if we're talking about that if it's not made with a particular pouch for the Aver, then there's less of an issue. Okay. Okay. Omer Abaya. So Abaya says in this connection, people who ride on camels are not allowed to eat truma. What happens? They ride on a camel. Generally speaking, they didn't ride in those days on a camel with a saddle, unlike other animals that they usually did. So therefore, you have the same problem that he rubs against and he gets stimulated against the back of the camel, and therefore he's likely to be moitzi zera l'vatala. And if he is, then he's also to eat truma, because he's tummy, it's not scary. So one second. Tanya Nami Hafi, one second. We learned this. Hold on. Tanya Nami Hafi, we learn indeed like that in a braisa. Roichve gmalim kulan rishoyim. People who ride on camels are all rishoyim because of that problem, because they're very likely to come to be moitzi zera l'vatala. Hasaponim kulam tzaddikim. On the other hand, sailors are all tzaddikim. Now, sailors are not really relevant to our Gemara over here. We're not talking about what they're riding on or not. We're just mentioning, since we're mentioning a group that are Rishayim, then we're mentioning for parallel the group that are tzaddikim. Sailors, you have the last Mishnah in Kiddushin mentions this also. It's the reason why Rashi says over there and also over here is because the sailors are constantly in danger. They're out on the water. Storms come up and whatever. Because we're going to get to that. Hold on. Because the point is, as we said, that camels, they didn't usually ride with saddles. But wait.
What holds this too with
camels? Hold on.
Listen.
Camels, they usually did not ride with saddles. So you have the problem, there's direct contact over there, right? So therefore, you have a problem. So therefore, people who ride on camels are rishon. On the other hand, asaponim kulam tzaddikim, sailors are all tzaddikim because they're constantly exposed to danger and they have to rely on Hashem. They're constantly having to daven to Hashem to save them from potential storms and whatnot. Hachamorim mehen rishoyim mehen tzaddikim. As far as donkey drivers, some of them are rishoyim and some of them are tzaddikim. Now, what does that mean? Ikadam, what's the difference? How do you define which ones are which? Ikadam, the one version is hodemakaf, hodemakaf. Depends whether they're riding it with a saddle or not. If they ride it with a saddle, then that's fine. Ukaf is a saddle. So makaf means that it has a saddle. So if they ride it with a saddle, then it's not a big deal. Hodemakaf. But if they ride it bareback, then you have a problem, like we said, with the camel. So that answers your question about horses as well. Horses, you ride with a saddle.
But you're not allowed to ride horses.
There's ox. Who said you're not allowed to ride horses?
It's not they're going to ride horses. We're not allowed to ride horses. We're not allowed to do what they do.
No.
So the Chumash shouldn't only last for just the three, but we're allowed.
Yeah, you're allowed to ride a horse. Yeah.
I thought there's
no. Not such thing. Ikadamri.
One second, what's the difference between having a saddle or not?
Because having a saddle makes it that there's less likely to be stimulation that's going to lead to Moti Zedel of Ashara. Because it's hard, because a saddle is hard. It's not, you know, it's not something that, as opposed to the actual back of the camel or the actual back of the junkie or whatever, is softer, and therefore you have more.
That's probably.
That's right. Well, also you have the body heat of the animal. Yeah, that probably factors into it as well. Yeah. Okay, Tosfos actually makes a distinction over here among the donkey drivers. Are we talking about the ones who actually ride on the donkeys, which is what we're talking about over here, versus the ones who lead the donkeys and take them from one place to another to do business or whatever? So, yeah. Okay, because the Mishnah in Kedushin says a different thing over there. It says that most donkey drivers are listed or seen. So how does that fit over here? We're saying some are Rishoyim, some are Tzadikim. So that's Tosfos makes the distinction that we're talking about. Are we talking about the ones who are riding? Then it depends whether they're riding with a saddle or not. Versus, we're talking about the ones who are the donkey drivers who go and do business, and they tend to be thieves because they tend to be dishonest in business. So, right, other Mephoshim say, we're talking from the point of view of Hitzal Zedel of Atala, and then we're talking about from other points of view. Okay, interesting point, by the way, as far as the camel, the Meshach Chachma points out, you find in Parshas Chayesara when it says, when Eliezer is bringing Rivka home, so what does it say? It says, Rivka and her young ladies who were accompanying her rode on the camel. It doesn't say that Eliezer rode on the camel. Why not? Because over here, because they're not allowed to. So therefore, he and his men walked with the camels rather than riding on them. No, because they took 10 camels, it says, to the pastures. They walked. Yeah, as it is, and on the way there, that's the Medrash. Anyway, yeah, so it's not like they intended to do it all in one day. The Medrash says normally, it would take them 17 days, and like this, that's the Medrash, and they did it in a day. Okay, anyway. On the way back, we don't know. Okay, yeah. Anyway, but the Chumash Chochma says that's why the pasuk stresses that Rivka and her young ladies rode on the camels, but it doesn't say that Eliezer and company rode on them. Okay, anyway. So as far as the donkeys, one possibility is it depends whether it has a saddle or not. The ikadamri hold the mitarchin, hold the mitarchin. Others say there's a difference even with a saddle. Is he riding with one leg on each side of the animal? Where mitarchin literally means like a balance scale, so like he's balanced on one side or the other, or is he riding side saddle? Then there's not an issue, of rubbing and hearing. Yeah.
Fine. So why do we have to mention that?
That's the second possibility. Yeah. To reconcile. When we said that among the donkey riders, some of them are Rishoyim and some of them are Tzadikim, the second way of explaining is both of them are riding with a saddle, but one is riding with one leg on each side, and the other one is riding...
It doesn't reconcile anything, because we said all those comes from Gemalim, they're Rishoyim.
We didn't say Gemalim, we said Hamarim over here. Fine. Nobody rides Malim side saddle. If nobody rides Malim on the side, you'd fall off. It's not safe to. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben, more in this connection. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi liet aman degoni aparted. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would curse people who sleep aparted. Now, what is aparted? Rashi over here explains, here and in a few other places, explains that it means face up. So what's the problem with face up? Rashi says, first of all, what happens is while he's sleeping, he may get erect, and then it becomes, it's upward, and then it becomes uncovered, like, the blankets fall off or whatever, and then it's a gnai, it doesn't look right. Remember, people didn't sleep with pajamas in those days. People often slept without clothing. They have, but a lot of times people slept without clothing. Second of all, Rashi says also, because if a person is sleeping face up, then his hands are very likely to wander to his aver while he's sleeping or while he's half asleep or whatever. And again, you know. No. On the other hand, it says that you're not supposed to sleep face up for the reasons that Rashi is saying over here. With that said, Tosfos brings from the Aruch, who says that actually a parukid means face down. And there you have a similar kind of problem because it rubs against the bed, and then you have here. And actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions both of them. The Rambam, for example, passes. So both face up and face down is no good. So So Rabbi Shimon Levi. Yeah. In fact, the Rambam recommends. In fact, first of all, because of these halachas, but also because of health reasons, the Rambam recommends that a person should sleep on his side. I think the Rambam says that at the beginning of the night, a person should sleep on his left side so that his stomach can digest his food, and at the end of the night, he should sleep on his right side, or maybe I have that backwards. I don't remember, but whatever. Yeah,
that's also like what it's for. I mean, you're sleeping on a certain side. And the liquid that circulates, the strain.
One more reason, actually, Tosfos says over here, according to the first explanation, that a parakeet means face up. Another reason why it would be a problem, Julian Tosfos says, because when a person sleeps face up, his spine gets warmed up, and that itself causes that there can be a kishuri, there can be an erection because of that. Okay. Anyway. So the question is, Amy, is that so? A person is not allowed that a person is not allowed to sleep in this position. Well, Amar Rabbi Yosef Prakton Leiko Kriyashma. Rabbi Yosef says that a person who is sleeping Prakton, which is the same word as a parakeet, it means again either face up or face down, should not be saying Kriyashma, implying Kriyashma Hu Deloyikra. He shouldn't be saying Kriyashma because it's not respectful to be saying it in that position. But Hamag, face up or face down, as the case may be, however you explain Prakton, Hamagna Shapir Dami. But it sounds like it's fine to sleep that way, just not to say Krishna that way. The answer is L'inyan Magna, the difference is like this. You're not allowed to sleep face, you're not allowed to sleep prakta, according to either definition of prakta. But the difference is, so what's the difference between that and Kriyashma? La'inyan magna, as far as when it comes to sleeping, ki matli shapur dami. If a person is leaning a little bit onto his side, then it's fine. So he's not sleeping flat on his back or flat on his stomach, according to the two different explanations. He's sleeping a little bit to one side, then that's fine. But L'inyan Kriyashma, he must be also. But as far as Kriyashma, even if he's leaning over a little bit, it's still also because not respectful to be saying Kriyashma that way. He should be sitting, he should be lying completely on his side, but not just like mostly lying on his back and turning a little bit to his side. So the question is,
on the side should be okay.
So completely on his side for Kriyashma would be fine, but Rashi says, but not where he's mostly on his back or mostly on his stomach and leaning a little bit. Yeah. Tosfos also brings from a Gemara in Brachas that also says that if he's completely on his side, that's fine. Yeah. So the question is, what Rabbi Yochanan Matli or Mikri Krishma? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan do exactly that? The answer is, Shiner Rabbi Yochanan Debal Basra, but the difference is Rabbi Yochanan was very fat, so therefore he couldn't get on his side. It was uncomfortable for him, so therefore he was allowed to stay Krishma in a position where he's mostly on his back or mostly on his stomach and leaning a little bit to the side.
Which way did he actually sleep, that's the question.
So we don't know, but whatever it is, the point is he was Matli. He was, I know. Some people are. No, that's definitely not when you're Ishmael Abba. That's Reb Nachum Chernobyl. Why was he was? The Gemara tells us in Bava Matzia a couple of stories in that connection. Okay, anyway.
Kohen those bits is Ephraim.
Rabbi Yechon wasn't a Kohen.
No, but some Kohen
listeners then. Rabbi Yechon lived a couple hundred years after the Chor, but okay, whatever. Right, anyway, the bottom line is he was Baal Boster, and therefore, and that's the halacha, normally a person is not allowed to say Krishna unless he's completely on his side or sitting up or whatever, but if he's a Baal Boster and it's otherwise painful or difficult for him to turn completely onto his side, then he's allowed to be Matli, he's allowed to turn a little bit onto his side and say Krishna. Mishnah says, continuing on the subject of Bedikas, Derech Bnos Yisrael Meshamshes B'Shnei Edim, the way of Jewish women is that when they have relations with their husband, they use two cloths for checking, Echad Lo V'Echad Lo, one, both of them they use after Tashmish, they use to wipe themselves, one for her and one for him, and again, times in the previous Perek, the Machloikas Rishonim, does this apply throughout all generations, or does it apply only when the Truma and Kodshim involved? So the Rambam is Machmir, and then the Rambam and the Rosh are Machmir, and most everybody else is Mekel. And that's how we do it nowadays. But you don't have to wait. Vasnuis, the sneer sticker women, the women who are extra careful in halacha, misaknes shlishi, they would prepare a third cloth, lasaknes abayis, to prepare the house, which is a euphemism for to do a bedikah before tashmish. Now, we actually learned, Rashi refers us to what we learned a couple of days ago towards the end of the first parak, that actually everybody is required to do that at the times when you have to do bedikas. The difference is the snuis would use a separate cloth for that purpose, whereas the non-snuis would just reuse the same cloth. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Nimsa al shaloi. What happens now if after they have relations, they find blood on his cloth? So then it doesn't matter how long after the Tashmish it was found. It can't have come from him, because if there was blood coming from him, then we would know about it. He would know that there's some sore over there or whatever. So therefore, of necessity, it has to be from her. Therefore, Tmein. Therefore, both of them are Tmein, because obviously it means she became Nida while they were having relations. So therefore, they're both Tmein. She is a Nida, he is a boil Nida. The Chayav and Korban, and both of them are Chayav, a Korban Chattas, for having, because having relations with the Nida, as we learned in Christus, is one of the 36 Christus.
That's leftover that came out. It has to be Nida. No, it can be that she has leftover from the movement around that came out, leftover.
No, but the fact is, then why would it be on his cloth? Melech came on her cloth, fine. Maybe it happened after the Tashmish, maybe not. But if it's on his cloth, of necessity, it must have happened while they were together. And then, therefore, it came onto his aver, and now it winds up on his cloth.
But inside, when it's inside, so then it left over, it didn't drain out, could have left whatever.
That's the point is, it landed on his aver, so therefore, it obviously came from her. Yeah. Yes.
We're saying it only happens to see blood on his aver,
yes,
and not in hers.
So we didn't find on hers, for whatever reason, because it might have been just a drop, of blood, and it happened.
She checked herself.
She checked herself out. No, no. We said that she checks herself first. Fine. Then she checks herself before Tashmish. Then now after Tashmish, they're both checking themselves. What we're saying, well, it could be at the same time or it could be later. What we're saying is with the husband, it doesn't matter. Even if he checked an hour later, even if he checked or whatever, La'achaz man, he's waited a long time, Rashi says, if we find blood on his, there's no way that could have come from him, because if it came from him, it means that he has something bleeding in his body, and he would find it. He would know about it. So therefore, it has to have come from her. Now, you do have the question, which the Gemara is going to deal with. It could, well, it's fine. That's not a big question, because it could have been a drop of blood. Even one drop of blood is enough to be metame her. So it could be that it was one drop. It came completely out of her. It got on him, whatever. No, the real question the Gemara is going to deal with is, why don't we say it could be from a bug? So that we'll get to. Okay. Anyway, a bug, a louse, for example.
What do you call those bugs that have blood inside of them?
Yeah, the Gemara is going to use the word macholos, which means Rashi translates it as a louse. So you have them nowadays. It's somewhat uncommon to have lice, and when you do, you know, it's a big louse is the singular of lice. Yeah. So of course,
very
tiny amount, but it's still enough that you can have a stain from it. In fact, we're going to learn at various places in our perek, in our Gemara over here. We're going to deal with it in much more detail later on in the Masechta, that up to a certain amount of blood, up to the size of a grist. We can assume that it may have come from a macholus, that it may have come from a dead bug, and therefore it's not metamic. What is the size of a gris? That you have a major machloikis hakoskim, how to translate it into modern terms. Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, learns that it's about the size of a penny. The Alter Rebbe, there's two different ways of understanding the Alter Rebbe's shit on it. One is that it's approximately the size of a dime, which is a little bit smaller than a penny, and another one that's a bit small, and another way of understanding the Alter Rebbe is a little smaller than that, because the Alter Rebbe talks about it in terms of a Russian coin that existed in his times, but that coin changed in size at different times, so it's not so simple what the Alter Rebbe meant by it. But yeah, so you have a few different, a gris literally means a split bean. So there's a certain kind of bean where when you split it, like to make split pea soup or whatever, it comes out to that size. It comes out to the size of a gris. The official thing is, the Gemara, so the Mishnah explains in the Sefer Negoyim, the official definition is a gris is the size of the area where 6x6 hairs would grow on the body. But again, how that's translated into modern terms, you have the various posts you here about it. Anyway, the point is, up to that amount of blood, we're going to learn over here, and later on, could conceivably come from a macholus, from a louse. Keep in mind, also, you have two different kinds of lice. You have head lice and your body lice. Actually, it's three kinds. You have head lice, your body lice, and your pubic lice. So each one may have a different amount of blood in them. But yeah, we're not talking about nowadays where there's no screens, there's no antibacterial soaps, there's no nothing yet. With that, it's an interesting point, by the way, nowadays that we don't usually have bugs around, does that mean that even a spot less than that would make her tummy? The vast majority of post-machronim say no. Once the Chachamim established that a kesem, that a stain, that you had a minimum size to make her tummy, when you find a stain on clothing, then we don't change that, even though nowadays. So only if it's more than a grease. But wait. Okay. Anyway. So again, so if we find blood on his cloth, then it has to have come from her, therefore there was blood. Nimsa al shalah, what happens if we find it on her cloth? Then it depends how soon after she wiped. If she did the wiping immediately, oisiyim brings on the side over here is actually comes from a Greek word that means immediately. And then there's different other girsais, the Oro has a girsa over here, FT or whatever, it's some kind of Greek word that means, immediately. So if they find it immediately, also Tmeim, Chayov, and Bekorban, same thing, they're both Tomei, and they're both Chayov and a Korban, because again, if you find it immediately after Tashmish, the blood, it has to be that it started coming during Tashmish. But Nimsal Shalala Achazman, but if you find it on her cloth only a while later, after Oisiyim, then it's not a Vada anymore. Then it could have started bleeding only after they finished Tashmish. In that case, Tmei and Mistafik, so both of them are Tomei Mistafik. Okay, she's Tomei Vada, fine. But the point is that he is also Tomei, he's only Tomei Tuma Mistafik. It's not a Vada, because it's not definite that he was still with her when she became a Nida. Ukturim in a Korban, and they're parted from a Korban because it's not certain whether they were over on being boiled with her or not. Because if you find it immediately, if you find it on him, it doesn't make a difference. That's what we're saying. But as far if you find it on his cloth, it doesn't matter whether it's right away.
The impact on him earlier or later.
If she wipes right away and finds blood, then it means he's Tomei and he's high in a Korban. Because obviously it means that it started, but if it was only later on. If it was only later on, and the Gemara is going to explain what's Oisiyim and what's not, what's immediately and what's later on, then already, who says the blood was already coming out during Tashmish? Maybe they finished, he withdrew, and only then she started bleeding. So therefore, it's only a Sophic. So he's only telling him a Sophic, and they can't bring a Korban, because you don't bring a Korban for a Sophic. The Gemara is going to deal with that point. Okay. Yeah. A zehu achazman, so actually here, we're going to define it here in the mission. What's the achazman? What's considered sometime later, where we say already that it's a suffix. Kadesh tated mina mitzvah tadiyach panecha, when if there's enough time for her to get out of bed and wash her panim. Ponim means face, but over here we're using it as a euphemism for the lower face, for a general. So that much time, once you have that much time has passed, enough time for her to get out of bed and rinse that area, then already it's not oisiyim anymore. Now if she wipes and finds blood on the cloth, then already it's a suffix whether it was still going on, whether it already started happening during Tashmish or not. Okay, but it's still enough time, apparently. If she only finds the blood after that, then she's tomei. Then you have the truma of mesles. You have the truma going back 24 hours that we learned in the first parak. Back 24 hours or to the last time she did a bedikta. No, she's nida anyway. She's tomei nida anyway. In the times of the Gemara, all she would need to do is wait until the end of the 7 days and then go to the mikvah. She doesn't need shivin nakiyim unless she's a zavah. But yeah, the point is that anyway, when we say metamim meslef, means for the retroactively 24 hours, you have the suffix truma that we learned about in the first parak. The ain matame is boyala, however, she does not matame the one who, if he had relations with her previously during that mess left, he's not tome, because again, as we said in the first parak, we say that she's tome misophic during that 24 hours. We say the trum of a kodshim that she handled during that time is tome misophic, but we said her boyal is not tome. They weren't matame him because of that suffix. Rav Akiva ima'at matame is boyala. Rav Akiva disagrees and says that no, the boyal is tome as well, because we learned in the first parak, we learned on that vav, that Rav Akiva holds that the mess left is strong enough to make him suffix Tomei as well, just like it makes her suffix Tomei. Now, however, the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Akiva, Beroya Kesem, in the case where a woman finds a blood stain on her clothing, in the case where it makes her Tomei, Shematameh Boyala, where then, if he has relations with her, he will be Tomei, because we have suffix at least, because then, When we talk about the last 24 hours before she had the Re'ia, then fine, maybe it was starting to come out, maybe not. But over here, you find a Kesem, obviously, you know, under the circumstances under the circumstances where we can't attribute it to a butcher shop or a louse or what have you, and therefore we have to assume it came from her, then therefore, if he has relations with her after that, then obviously he's coming.
If, let's say, she had her, she went through the cycle of 7 and 11.
Yeah.
Then she has the course, then she finds this, spot, you know, the blood we're talking about.
Right.
So she has to now wait 24 hours and then go next again?
No. The 24 hours we're talking about beforehand.
Okay. But if something like that happens, she has to go through.
It depends. Is it during the Yemei Nidur or is it during the Yemei Zivah?
No, because she finishes 7 days.
That's fine. So then.
Then she has this 11 days where.
Right.
If she sees, then she's fine.
No, during the 11 days, if she sees, then it depends. Either 1 or 2 days makes her a Zavak Tana, and she needs 1 clean day, or 3 or more days, and she becomes a Zavak Gola, and she needs 7 clean days. Anytime.
After a baby,
it's something else. I'm sorry, I was old.
It's either 1 day or 7 days.
Right. Right.
One extra day.
She definitely had her period, and
right.
She went through the death cycle of the cleaning, and then.
Right.
She has intercourse, then she finds
and then she finds another blood. Then she starts throw it all over again, yeah. Okay. Depending whether it's Yemei Nidur or Yemei Zivah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So Gemara sorts of the Nechush Dilma Dam Ma'acholosu. This case that we're talking about over here in the first part of the Mishnah, where we're saying that if you find blood on his cloth anytime, or if you find it on her cloth right away, Oisiyim, then we're saying they're definitely Tomei and they have to bring a carbon. How could they definitely bring a carbon? And how can you say they're definitely Tomei to the extent that we're going to burn Truma because of it? Shouldn't we be concerned that it might have been blood from a louse? You should say, therefore, that it's only a Sopik.
Blood, you said, we learned out until now that blood from the uterus.
But here we don't even know it came from the uterus. Here we didn't, hold on. Here we found it on a cloth where he wiped himself or she wiped herself with afterwards. We don't know that it came from the uterus. Well, that's the question. That should be a sophist. So we shouldn't be burning truma or korban that they touch. It should be only a sophist, which should be toila. And as far as a korban, you can't be bringing a korban for a sophist. The answer is Amar Abzera, Oisei Mokum Bodu Kueso Machoilus. That area of her body, inside her genitals, it's checked relative to a Machoilus. In other words, no Machoilus goes into there. So therefore, obviously, it must have come from her. The Ikadamri, another version of what Abzera says, is Dochu Kueso Machoilus. It's too tight for Machoilus to be able to. They're inside her vagina. Any place where her husband's able is going to go. Hold on. That was the question. Now the answer is that once we find on his cloth and his bedikah cloth, and that which means, in other words, that's coming. So no, we find the blood on his bedikah cloth. So we're saying that it was on his aver. Now we find it on the cloth.
Right.
The aver goes inside.
Right.
That area is proof against Macholus, either because the first version is Boduk, we know for a fact that no Macholus goes in there, or the second version is Dochuku, it's too tight for a Macholus to get in. Therefore, there's no possibility of a Macholus having been there. This blood must have come from her, and therefore it ended up on him.
So why do we say Macholus then?
Because that's what we asked. In general, we have to ask when we find blood on cloth how we know it's from her and not from Macholus.
So
the answer is, now we're saying, because we found it on his cloth where he wiped blood off his aver, then there can't have been a Macholus in there.
So could end up on the actual...
So one second. My Benayir, the question is, what's the practical difference between these two versions? The answer is, Ika Benayir di Ishtakach Macholus Ritzufa. What happens if on the cloth you find a squashed Macholus, you find a squashed louse, and a little bit distant from there you find blood. So now it depends. So Lahaklish Nadama Bodukhu, according to the first version that says that the inside of her is definitely Bodruk is definitely checked, is as if it was checked and there's never any lice there, then obviously Homa Alma Asoy. Well then this blood must have come from her herself. Where did this bug come from? This bug landed on the cloth after that.
I think it was a woman can put a moth in her organ.
That's true.
So if she can put a moth, how come that the macholus couldn't come up?
Hold on.
If she puts a moth and there is a macholus on the moth, she could have a macholus.
I suppose, but the Gemara is saying over here that Boduk, that you know that no macholus is going to go in there. According to the first version, Boduk, the Rishonim talk about it, I think the Ramban talks about it, and it's moist in there, and it's an unattractive environment for a macholus to go into. They prefer, they don't prefer that kind of environment.
Well, they're like wet.
A little bit wet, but not weird, whatever.
That's
the second one, Dochuku. The second one is that it's too tight. So lahach lishna the amad dochuku, but according to the second version, it's very tight. Ema shama shrotzva. You know what might have happened? Maybe a macholus somehow did get in there, and then it was squashed by the aver itself during tashmish, and that explains why we find it squashed on the cloth. So according to the first version, his aver we're talking about. Yes. So therefore, according to the first version, baduku, we would say it doesn't matter. Oh, well, you can call it an aver and a 30 cents, but obviously, right, yeah. Okay. Right. In other words, so the point is, according to the version that we say Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter that there's a squashed bug on it. Nevertheless, we have to attribute the blood for her because there's no, the Macholis has no business being in there at all.
No.
According to the second version, conceivably sometime a Macholis could get in there and then get squashed during Tashmish. And therefore, if you find it on his cloth, then not necessarily would we say that the blood came from her. It may have come from Macholis, and then it would only be suffix from her.
Any Macholis for him inside of his ever?
Yeah, it wouldn't be inside. If it was inside his Ava, I think he'd know about it. Okay.
No, but it makes sense that it was on his Ava and got squashed. That's why you found it by him. And
maybe. Okay. But it could be, but not necessarily. On the other hand, it could have come from her, and it happened. You know, it dripped completely out of her and landed on him, whatever. Okay. Fine. It's Mar. So now we have a discussion on a related topic.
If we said before that women could sit on an animal, there could be Macholis coming up.
Maybe, but apparently the Gemara is assuming over here, according to the first Lashon, that according to either Lashon, that's not normal for it to be in there. One, because... Okay, so
sure,
fine. So in that case, a Baruch Hu or a Dachuk Hu, as the case may be, fine.
Just think of Ramama, think those days, people, their vehicle were animals.
That's true.
So they drove animals, and all we see even nowadays, there's all kinds of flying all around there.
Well, that's true. That's true. But on the other hand, a Macholis is a specific type of bug. It's a louse. Not necessarily small, but whatever. The point is, they're not necessarily shared between humans and animals. What happens if the woman does her bedikah with a cloth which she had previously checked? She checked it previously and found there's no blood or bugs or anything on it. Then after she did the bedikah with it, she wiped it on her leg. And Tosfos stresses what we mean is the part of her leg where blood couldn't possibly drip out of her oisim makom onto it. And in other words, if we're not talking about she wiped it on the inside of her leg where conceivably blood could fall on it from her. We're talking we're talking about where she wiped it, let's say, on the outside of her leg. Ulamacha mata olavdam. The next day in the morning, she found blood on it. Rashi explains on it means on her leg. So the question is, did it come from the cloth or did it come from the cloth or not? The Rambam seems to understand that what it means is she found the blood on the cloth. Anyway, and the question is, did it come from inside her or did it come from her leg? Maybe she had a sore on her leg that she wiped. So Omer Rav Tmei Nida. Rav says she is in fact definitely Tmei Nida because since she had previously checked the aid and there was no blood on it, obviously it must have come from her goof, and then it went on, and then from there it went on to her leg.
If it comes from her.
Where it comes from inside her, if it comes from
she was checked, she was Baruch Hu.
She did bedikah on the cloth. There was nothing on the cloth. That's the point. She did a bedikah. She had a clean cloth, a cloth which she knew to be clean. She did a bedikah. She put it in, checked the chorin of a seduction, etc. Now, afterwards, after she took it out, she wiped it on her leg. Then the next morning, she wakes up and she finds blood on her leg in the area where she wiped it. So now the question is, did that blood maybe land on her leg from something else and therefore didn't come from inside her stomach? Now, Tosfos points out, it's cover.
It was
clean before she did the bedikah.
The same thing she did on the other side of the leg where it couldn't drip out on her.
That's fine, but still, it could have come from someplace else. But that's the point. We don't say that. That's the point. It didn't drip directly out of her onto her leg. Fine, but it still might have been from the cloth. She did a bedikah inside. She doesn't know what was on the cloth. And then she wiped it on her leg. And Tosfos adds also that what we're talking about apparently is that, first of all, it could be that we're talking about that the cloth was lost, so we can't check the cloth. Otherwise, let's check the cloth itself, see if there's blood on it. The second answer that Tosfos says is that maybe not necessarily. Fine, even if you find blood on it, it could be the other way around. Maybe there was something on her leg that was bleeding, and then the blood wound up on the cloth. Fine. So this is all, again, that's the Rav is saying, that she's definitely ninja. Because, in other words, we assume that the blood actually did come from inside her, and then, so she hadn't noticed this, she hadn't noticed it at the time, she hadn't looked at it.
She just said she could have wiped her leg without knowing that it was blood. And then
that's fine. The fact of the matter is, since we find blood on her leg the next day, we have to assume, we have to, again, since the aid was Baruch, so it can't be that there was blood on it beforehand, so obviously the only place that blood could have come would have been from inside her. The only other possibility would be Dilma me Alma Osal Yerecha, maybe it came from some other external source and landed on her leg. We're not going to say that, because that's a remote possibility, and therefore, And then therefore, Rabbi's saying she's coming in.
Speaking of like, what's the purpose? What was her shuvah when she wiped?
When she wiped it on her leg? No. She wasn't thinking. No. First time she wiped it on her leg, so she wasn't thinking. Nothing. Okay. Anyway, Amalei Rav Shimi bar Chiya. So Rav Shimi bar Chiya says to Rav, why are you saying that she's definitely tamei? V'ha'cha sheshet amrav lan. Didn't you teach us tamidim that it's only she has to be choshesh that she might be nida? It's only a suffix.
Right.
Itmo nami. In fact, it was said also. Amar Shmuel tamei nida. Shmuel also agrees with Rav that she is definitely tamei nida. V'chein modin ben medrash atmeya. And so also they teach in the Beit Medrash practical halacha that she's definitely tamei. And that's the halacha. We don't say that she suffered tummy. We say that we say definitely tummy. Yeah.
Likelihood is much greater.
Likelihood is much greater, right?
If she would have the court to have blood and also okay, fine, the blood.
Right. So according to Tosis's first explanation, if she had the cloth and checks it and doesn't find blood on it, then there's no problem.
Right.
But the problem is the cloth is lost, so we don't know. The second answer Tosfos says is fine, but even if we find blood on the cloth, it doesn't necessarily prove that it came from her because it might have come from whatever she wiped on her leg. The leg itself might have been bleeding.
Say that she wiped herself.
Yeah, the Vashtas we're talking
if
about.
If she doesn't remember.
If she doesn't remember, I guess. I don't know.
Is it a suffix or a
I don't know. Maybe it's a suffix. I don't know. Okay,
she doesn't have to wipe the leg.
Okay.
She doesn't have to wipe the leg.
Okay, another discussion. Itmar. Bodka be'ed she'enei bodka law. Now let's talk about what if she does a bedikah with a cloth which she didn't previously check. So it might actually have had blood on it from before, or maybe not. Maybe it was clean. Then after she did the bedikah with it, she put it in a box. The next morning she finds blood on it. So now you have two big possibilities. There might have been blood to begin with on there. So here Rashi says actually if she had wiped it on her leg, then yes, you would have two spaces. The blood on her leg might not have come from the aid, and even if it did, the blood might have been on there before because it wasn't bodur. So then we would already have reason to be mindful. But here we're talking about there's only the one suffix. It's in the box. So that the only question is, was the blood on there before or did it come from her during the bedikah?
Did it come from to be in the box. She squashed it.
No, first of all, then you'd find the squashed bug. But second of all, the pastures we're talking about over here, where you find blood on there more than a grit. So it's more than, yeah. Okay, so what happens? Rebbe omer tmei mishum nida. So Rebbe says she's tmei on the grounds being nida, meaning tumas vadai, because since you have a chazaka that blood does come from the uterus, then we can't assume that there might have been blood on the cloth from before. Rav Chiya says though he also says she's tamei, but only on the grounds of a kesem, which means of a stain that you found on the cloth, which means in other words it's only a suffix from her.
Leave there a cloth inside, that's 24 hours.
That doesn't matter because even one drop is enough to make her tummy. So you could have one drop came out. When we say over here a grist, we're talking about where you find stains on clothing where you don't know for sure whether they came from her or not. But if you do a bedikah or if you see blood actually coming out of her, even one tiny drop is enough to make her tummy.
Right, but this whole thing is a suffix if it came from...
Here it's a suffix whether it was on
the
cloth. Well, the leg was the previous case. Here we're talking about she didn't check it beforehand, and then she put it in a box, and now she found blood on it. So is it that the blood came from her, or is it that the blood was already on the cloth from before?
Oh.
So Rav says, so Rebbe is saying she's definitely Tommy, and Rebbe is saying only suffix Tommy. Amalei Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya says to Rebbe...
Wait, no.
What? Yeah, we just did this whole argument. You're right, actually. I skipped the whole part of it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So it's my bodka be'ed she'enei bodka lo v'nichata b'chufza u'lemocha mata olav dam. The next morning she found blood on it. Amar of Yosef, kol yom of shor Rav Chiya timei, Rav Chiya throughout his life declared it tamei, u'le'esik nosei tihir. When he got older, then he changed his mind and declared it tamei. So we have to understand, what does that mean? Heichi komer. Kol yom of timi mishum nida. Does it mean that throughout most of his life, when they bring such a shaila to Rav Chiya, he would say tomei on the grounds of nida, meaning definitely tomei. Ola esik not tiu mishum nida, but timi mishum kesem. When he got older, he said it's okay. It's not definitely tomei. It's suffix tomei because there is a kesem over here, and a kesem creates a suffix trauma. So then it wouldn't mean she's completely tahor. It would just mean it's only a suffix.
If
it's a kesem, you still have to go through the whole thing of going to the mikvah and all. You still need to wait till the end of the 7 days. And yeah, but or 1 day in the case of Yimei Ziva, whatever. Yeah, but it was still only a suffix tumah. Yeah. So is that what it means? Oy Dilma, kol yom of kimi mishum kesem. Maybe it means to begin with, he never said it was vabe tumah. He only said it was suffix tumah. Ula istik nasi tiyu mivaloi klum. And then when he got old, he was metahuit completely. So what is it? Toshma. Either it was Tome definitely and now only Sophic Tome, or it was to begin with Sophic Tome and now Vabe Tahor. So what is it? Toshma, the Tanya, Bodka Ba'ed She'eni Bodukla, if she did a Bedika with a cloth that she hadn't previously checked, the Braita says, Vinichata Bekuf, so she put it in a box, or the Macha Mata all of Dam, and the next morning she found blood on it. You can easily see how it is that I skipped those few lines by accident. It's the same word, yeah. Rebbe Omer Tmeya Mishum Nida. So Rebbe says she's definitely Tomei as far as Nida, because of Nida. Trumas Vadei. But Rebbe Omer Tmeya Mishum Ketim. Rebbe says it's only a Ketim. So now, and the Braisa continues. Omer Lo Rebbe Chia. So Rebbe Chia says to Rebbe, what do you mean that she's Tomei Vadei? E after Moda Shetricha Kegris Void. Don't you, Rebbe, agree that she can only be Tomei if there's a size in there more than a gris? Because again, up to a gris, there's not. We don't even necessarily know it came from her. It may have come from a bug.
Even if you don't see the bug.
Even if you don't see the bug, right. Omer le Abel. So Rebbe says, indeed. Abel usually means but there's a number of places in Shach where it means indeed. Yeah. Rashi says, hein be'em. Yes, it's true. Omer le, so Rebbe Chiya says to him, im kein, after, in that case, then you have to treat it like a regular kesem. If it's the size of more than a gris, then it would be tomei. But even then, it would only be a suffix. Less than that, it's nothing. So therefore, what are you saying? If tomei vade is nida, you should be treating it like any other kesem, where it's only a suffix. The Rebbe Sovar, now what does Rebbe hold? Why indeed does Rebbe say vade tomei? He says, but in to gris va'od la pokimi dan ma'achos. Why is it that you need to have more than a gris to make her tomei misuffix? Is just to make sure that it wasn't a ma'achos. Well, because after all, she hadn't checked the cloth before, so there might have been blood from Macholus on there before. But the Kivin did not with Lomidam Macholus. But Rebbe says, okay, fine. But the fact of the matter is, in this case, once you have more than a gris, and therefore it obviously didn't come from Macholus, Vade Migufal. So then we have to assume definitely that it came from her. Because she hadn't checked it before. So it's one thing if there had been less than a gris on it, but there was more than a gris. So where else would it have come from if not from her? Now that we have that braisa, let's figure out when this is taking place. My lav bizik nusik kari. On the face of it, this discussion between Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe that's recorded here in the braisa must have been when Rebbe Chiya was older. We said before there was a difference between what Rebbe Chiya said when he was younger versus when he was older. This must have been when he was older. How does it prove because he was older? So Rashi says because he's arguing with Rebbe, Rebbe was his teacher. So if he's arguing with his teacher, Bapashkas, he would only do it when he's older and no one knows more. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? We find many Talmidim who argue with their Rebbeim when they're younger. That's not a proof. So Tosfos brings from the Rashbam that Bechlal, Rebbe Chiya only came to Eretz Yisrael only when he was much older. He learned Torah in Babel, and then the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that he and his sons came to Eretz Yisrael and reestablished knowledge of the Torah over there that was in danger of being forgotten. So in other words, Rebbe Chiya himself didn't come to Eretz Yisrael as a young man. He came when he already had two sons, Yehuda and Chizkiya, who were already mature Talmid Chachamim themselves. Because of all the persecutions from the Romans and everything, in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. So therefore, so the Gemara mentions over there in Sukkah that there was three times in history where Chachamim came from Babel and reestablished the Torah when it was in danger of being forgotten in Eretz Yisrael. Ezra at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, Hillel 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and Rebbe Chiya in the times of Rebbe. Okay. Anyway, I'd forgotten completely, but they were forgetting certain things. I mean, that's how we come to have machlokes, because the Chachamim forgot certain details of Torah. So therefore, yeah. Okay. So that's one explanation. Tosfos says is that Rebbe Chiya only came to Eretz Yisrael when he was already in his older age. Another answer Tosfos says is the fact that he uses the expression over here, "e after moida," or after. You don't talk in direct address like that to a Rebbe. You speak more respectfully. Ask Rebbe Omer or whatever. The fact that he talks to him like an equal shows that already he was much older and he's already not so much a Talmud to Rebbe, but more like a chaver. More like a chaver to Rebbe.
Imagine how old Rebbe was.
Well, that's maybe. I mean, not necessarily. Not always is a Rebbe older than a student, right. Although generally he is. But yeah, okay. Anyway, the point is, so any of these things prove that he was in fact older, implying Hobby. Now, what is he saying when he's older? He's arguing with Rebbe and saying it should only have the trauma of a kesem, which is suffix. Hobby al-dursa kimi mishal nida. The implication, obviously, is when he was younger, he was metame definitely, like Rebbe's position, and now he changed his position, and he's trying to get Rebbe to do the same thing. Okay, shmamina, that proves it. That Rav Chiya, that Rav Chiya originally held badai and later on suffix.
Doesn't say why he changed it.
Well, the fact is because of the argument that he was saying over here, that if you're treating it like a kesem, then you have to treat it like a kesem. Meaning, in other words, it's only suffix.
So we don't know if it's Tara.
We know that Rebbe holds throughout that it's Tomei Vada. Rav Chiya was saying originally also held as Tomei Vada, and later on he changed his mind and held to say Tomei suffix. That's what we're saying. That's the argument. Kesem and right. Nobody says Tomei. Right. Another story in this connection, Mishtabach Le Rebbe Le Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi. One time Rebbe was speaking to Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi and praising Rav Chama Bar Bissa. He was giving shvach about Rav Chama Bar Bissa, the Adam Gadol, who that he's a great person, he's a great Talmud Chacham. Amalai, so Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi says, well, I want to meet him. Kshayavi Le Yodcha, the next time he comes to you, Habiyah Le Yodhi, bring him to me, I want to meet him. See what he's made out of. Key also, so when Rav Chama Bar Bissa comes to visit Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi, Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi says to Rav Chama Bar Bissa, Bo minai milsa. Ask me something in halacha. You can tell a lot of times, you can tell the caliber of a Talmud Chacham a lot of times by the kind of question he asks. The famous expression has it, you know, Shailas Chacham Chatzit Shuvah, that when a Chacham asks a question, you have a half the answer right there. So therefore, he wants to see what kind of Talmud Chacham Rav Chama Bar Bissa is, what kind of good question is he going
to
come up with.
So who asked who to set the question?
Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says to Rav Chama Bar Bissa, Bominai Milsa, ask me something in Torah.
He's the one that came to visit.
The young Talmud Chacham, so the older Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says to the younger Talmud Chacham, ask me something, and well, yeah.
From a question,
you can tell what that is. So he asks him the question that we were dealing with in the studio. Bodka be'edcha ain't a bodka. If a woman does a bedikah with a cloth that she hadn't previously checked, by the way, Tosfos points out over here, it doesn't mean that it had never been checked. What it means is Tosfos says she knows that a couple of days ago it was clean. But she hadn't checked it any time in the last couple of days. She'd had it in a drawer. A few days ago, she had checked it and found it clean. Now she took it out of a drawer. She didn't bother checking it before she used it for the bedikah.
They didn't have reusable or disposable.
Apparently not, right. If they had never checked it, then yeah, Rebbe is not going to say Tumah Vada because there's no reason to think that the blood came from her before. The blood might have been there for 2 years. But they were talking about that it was only sitting in a drawer for a couple of days. Okay, anyway. Okay, so Rav Chama Bar Bissa asks the question, if she did a bedikah with a cloth that she hadn't checked shortly before, then she put it away in a box, and afterwards, the next day, she finds blood in it, what's the din?
This is a kikur that came.
Yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says, you're asking something which is the subject of a machloikus. So who do you want the halacha like? Kedivere Abba Emaloch or Kedivere Rebbe Emaloch? Do you want me to tell you what my father, Rabbi Yossi, says, or do you want to tell me what Rebbe says? Do you want me to tell you what Rebbe says? Amalei, so Rabbi Chama says, Kedivere Rebbe Emaloch. Tell me what Rebbe says. I want to hear what Rebbe has to say on the subject. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says, this is the kind of person that they're saying on him is a great Talmud Chacham. What kind of a great Talmud Chacham is that? Yeah. How do you ignore the words of the Rebbe and listen to the words of the Talmud? Rebbe himself had been once a Talmud by Rabbi Yossi. And you, up to the time of Abaya and Rava, in fact, we have the usual rule is the halacha is like the Rebbe over the Talmud. Only beginning from Abaya and Rava and on does that rule change, and we start saying Halacha Kabasroi. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, before Abaya and Rava, the usual rule is the Halacha, it's not always, but usually the rule is the Halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. So therefore, over here, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, what kind of a Talmud Chacham asks for the Talmud's opinion in preference to the Rebbe's opinion? Rabbi Yossi is the Rebbe. Rebbe is the Talmud of Rabbi Yossi. What do you mean things are changed? That's fine, but we're talking about in that time. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is still a Tanna. He's a very late Tanna, long before Abaya and Rava. He's the end of the Tannaim. Abaya and Rava are in the middle of Amorim.
Which is how much?
We're talking 100, 150 years later. Okay, anyway. So, Rav Chama bar Bitta Sava. So, what was Rav Chama bar Bitta thinking? Why did he ask for Rebbe's opinion when he knows that Rebbe's that Rebbe's Rebbe was Rav Yossi? The answer is Sava. He thought
Rebbe
like
was a Talmud,
Rebbe was a Talmud. Yeah, but Rav Chama bar Bitta Sava, Rebbe Reish Mesivtahu. It's true, Rebbe is Rav Yossi's Talmud. On the other hand, Rebbe himself now is a Nasi. He is the Reish Mesivtah. He's the head of the. He's the Rosh Hashiva. Ushchichi Rabbanon Kameh. So many Talmud Chachamim are coming to learn by him. Umachadidi Shmaite, and therefore his statements in halacha are much sharper because they get refined and polished by all the people who come to the Beit Medrash and discuss in halacha and argue with him. So therefore, Rav Chama bar Bitta thought, in that case, then it's more preferable to hear Rebbe's opinion because it's undergone more polishing and more refinement maybe than Rav Yossi. There is Rav Yossi, apparently Rav Yossi didn't have such a big yeshiva. He had Talmidim, of course, but he didn't have. We don't know, but whatever it is, Rav Yossi's yeshiva was not near the size of Rebbe's, apparently. You actually have a machlokas rishonim, who the halacha is like over here. Is it like Rebbe or is it like Rav Yossi? Yeah. Okay. My Rebbe or my Rav Yossi. Where do we see that Rebbe and Rav Yossi address this issue? Amar of Adar Bamasna, Tant Tana, because we learn in a Braisa. Rebbe Matami v'Rav Yossi Matai. There, Amar of Zera, and Rav Zera clarifies, where do Rebbe and Rav Yossi get their respective opinions? Kishat Timei Rebbe Kirab Meir. When Rebbe is saying she's definitely Tomei in this case, he's following the opinion of Reb Meir, as we're going to see in a second. Whereas when Reb Yossi said it's Tahar, he was following his own opinion on a related subject. In other words, the point is Reb Zera is telling us Rebbe, after all, is the next generation after Reb Yossi. You sometimes have cross-generational machloikasin, but not always. Usually you have machloikasin between Tanoim, usually tend to be within the same generation. So Rav Zera wants us to know that Rebbe didn't just come up with this idea that it's Tomei on his own. He's following Rav Meir's opinion, because Rebbe learned by many of the Chachamim, including Rav Meir. You have the same
generation.
Well, Rav Meir is the same generation as Rav Yossi, yeah. In fact, actually, you have in the Gemara in Erevin, where Rebbe says on himself, the reason why I'm so much smarter than my Chaverim is because I saw the back of Reb Meir. And if I'd seen the front of him, I'd be even greater, because of Vahayu Anecha Royas Merecha. He saw the back of him, I guess. Rebbe was a little boy, and he saw Reb Meir one time walking, and he only saw the back of him.
No, in
the fact, it means that
much older than him.
Reb Meir is from an earlier generation, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So what is that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. It's not actually, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the eighth or ninth parak of Orma Sefer. Ha'isha shahoisa oisa tzracheha. If a woman is urinating, v'rasa, and then in the course of that she saw blood come out of her, v'rasa dam, she saw blood. Do we say that it's dam nidir or not? Rav Meir says it depends. Im oimedes tmeya. If she is standing when she's urinating, then it's tamei. Why? Because the Gemara explains over there, Rashi brings it over here, because since she has to strain herself in order that it's not normal, usually women urinate when they're sitting. So like this is an unusual position for her. Therefore, it's more likely to cause blood to come in, the muscles, whatever, it's more likely to make blood come out of the mucker, out of the uterus.
When she's standing.
But if it happened when she's sitting, then it's tahor, because mesamet came from her urinary bladder, and fine, there's blood from the urinary bladder, is not tumah. So therefore, Rebbe is following the same logic. In other words, when we get down to it, when she's standing, still, it could be from the uterus, it could be from the bladder, the blood, and nevertheless, Reb Meir is saying that it's tamei, because after all, you have, it's true that you have a 50-50 chance on the face of it, but not really, because there's a much greater chance of blood coming from the uterus. The normal place in a woman where blood comes from on a regular basis is the uterus. It's not normal for it to come from the bladder or other areas like that. Therefore, Reb Meir is saying, forget about any possibility that it may have come from the bladder if she's standing, and we have reason to think that it may have come from the uterus, then that's enough and we're going to make her tummy. So Rebbe is following the same logic over here with the cloth that hadn't been checked and saying by the same logic, if we find blood on it,
chazaka
that came from the uterus, right?
Now you don't just say, well, it depends if she's in her, you mean, if she's in a close territory or it's
waiting. The pastor's not, right?
If she's close, so it appears even more.
Well,
yes, you're right.
But if it's far away, that's why you're wondering. Yeah, whereas Rebbe Yossi says either way she's tahor, because Rebbe Yossi is not concerned about that possibility. Whether she's standing or whether she's sitting. Either way, whether she's standing or whether she's sitting. Rabbi Yossi says that there's no reason to assume it came from the uterus. It came
Why
from
that?
Because he says that
uterus is much more likely than
But he says, given that you have a suffix over here, then you're not going to say that
Where does the nidus blood come from?
The nidus blood comes from the uterus, from the womb.
Okay, so then why would she go to the bathroom if she's supposed to come out? Why would she say that comes from the uterus?
Well, because on the one hand, the normal place in that part of her body for blood to come from is from the uterus.
Right.
On the other hand, it's coming while she's urinating over here, so it might be. Maybe she has a bladder infection or she has a urinary tract infection or whatever, and it's bleeding, yes.
Sure, you see pure blood from the
uterus. No, we're not talking pure blood, obviously. It's mixed in with the urine, but whatever.
But when a woman does have a period, she goes to the bathroom, which we never see blood.
Well, if she sees blood anyone during her period, then she's talking anyway.
So actually,
we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that there's various dinim about it. We're going to talk about in the eighth or ninth perek. We're going to talk about various dinim involving with that, where she sees blood when she goes. We'll look at that. Okay, fine.
I can see finally out. Wait.
All right. Fine. Omelet of Acha Bred Rav Ravashi. So Rav Acha Bred Rav asked Ravashi, what are we saying that Rav Meir is saying that she's definitely Tame and that Rebbe is following the same opinion? V'ha'omer Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. Didn't Rav Yosi Rav Chanina say Kshikimi Rav Meir Lo Kimi Ela Mishum Kesem? Even Rav Meir is not saying it's a Vadai. He's only saying it's a Suffix, Tuma, because maybe it came from the uterus, maybe it came from the bladder or whatever. The Ilu Rebbe Mishum Nidakama, whereas Rebbe is saying that she's definitely Tomei. So Rebbe is not saying the same thing as Rebbe Meir. Amalei, Rav Ashi answers, Anan Hochi Kamrin. Yes, but what we're saying is like this. This that we're saying that Rebbe is following Rebbe Meir's opinion, Ki Itmar Hahi Mishum Nidhe Itmar. That Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina had said that your version you're saying is that Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina said only Mishum Ketem. No. Actually, the correct version is ki itmarahim mishum nida itmar. The correct version of what Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina said is that he was matami mishum nida, which is exactly the same thing as Rebbe saying. So, in other words, Rav Ashi is telling Rav Acha Bredi Rava, you have in your yeshiva a wrong version of what Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina said. He actually said that it's mishum nida, which comes out therefore the same thing as Rebbe. Instead of saying that's only mishum kesem, which would be a suffix. Yeah. Okay.
So therefore, according to
Rabbi Yossi, when she sees blood, there's not. Yes, it could have come from the uterus, but not necessarily. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that's tahor. If we don't have strong reason to say that it came from the uterus, whereas Rabbi Meir and Rebbe would say that she's tahor. Yeah.
So there's two against one.
Well, that's true. And again, who the halacha is like, whether it's like Rebbe or like Rabbi Yossi,
when she's going to the bathroom.
Yeah. But also, therefore, it affects the case where you have an age chain. Bodruk, where you have this case of a cloth that she hadn't previously checked, and then she finds, blood.
There'd be a question about that, so if two agree and one disagree.
Because on the other hand, you have Rebbe, we just said before, that Rabbi Yossi is Rebbe's Rebbe, and usually the halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. That's fine, but nevertheless, usually the halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. Tosfos actually learns over here that Tosfos discusses over here that brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that even Rabbi Yossi isn't necessarily saying she's completely tahor. He would say that's sophic tahor, like Rabbi Chiya's opinion that we said before.
Okay. So they agree, basically.
Well, not they agree, because Rebbe and Rabbi Meir would say Baba, and Rabbi Yossi would be saying sophic. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Nimsal Shalah Oisiyem Tmeyim Chola. We said if we find blood on her cloth, then it depends. If you find it right away after Tashmish, then they're both definitely Tomei, and then they're both Chayiv and a Korban, because it obviously happened during Tashmish. So turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa.
After a while.
No, Oisiyem means immediately. Oisiyem means right away. Turn it up on him. Ezehu Shir Vest. What is the Shir Vest, which we've talked about a few times, an immediate thing? What is considered this immediate time? Moshal, that for Bedikah, after Tashmish. Moshal the Shamash, the age for Omni Mitzadah Mashkif. Imagine you have the Shamash, the male Aver, and the Aid, the cloth, that are standing next to the lintel, next to the door. The Yitzias Shamash Nichnas Aid, and as soon as the Shamash comes out, the Aid goes in. And obviously, it's not really possible to do a bedikah in such a short frame of time. Therefore, therefore it means of necessity. You have to say vest sha'omer l'kinuach avalo the bedikah. This that we're talking about, this osiyam, we're not talking about where she does a full bedikah. We're talking about where she just wipes the outside and finds blood on it. Because, yes, if she were to do a full bedita, that would take a little longer. And then if she finds blood on it, then it's not oystium. It's not so immediate anymore that we can say it definitely happened during tashmish.
It takes a few minutes.
It takes a few minutes, yeah. But
so it happens like right after tashmish. So
that's the point. No, it's right after tashmish, like the moment he withdraws, she immediately, or within a very short amount of time, she does an external wiping. There's not enough time then to do a bedika that would still be concerned. Then it for sure came while they were doing it. And then, therefore, they're both definitely tamei and chayiv and a carbon.
But
if she finds it, if she does a bedik, if she finds a bedik, if she does a bedika, then already it's not oisyan anymore. It's not so immediate. Because the bedika of necessity takes time. Then we say it's a suffix. Then we say it's a suffix because she's definitely tamei one way or the other. But he's not. He's not necessarily tamei. For her, she's tamei either way because she found blood. For him, he's not necessarily tamei as a borel nida because not necessarily did it happen while they were having relations, and neither of them is chayiv and a korban because they weren't necessarily.
You can say it's after 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, it's 4 minutes.
Fine.
So what's the likelihood it was not during tashmish?
So it could have been, but it's not necessarily though. The fact is, it could be, but it could not. Okay. But that's actually what the Gemara is going to discuss soon. Okay. This point of how long we're talking about. Wait. Okay. Nimfal shalala achazman. Although we said if you find blood on hers sometime later, after the time of oisyim, then we say that. Then we said that it's only a suffix. Tana, we learn in a brayser. Now this gets to your question, Mechoyeli. V'chayavin osham tolui. However, in that case, they will be chayavin osham tolui because maybe they were over on the isur nida, maybe not. But the Tana didan, my Tana. Now, why does our Tana apparently disagrees with that? Because our Tana just said they don't bring a korban, meaning apparently not an Ashim Tala either. So why does our Tana disagree? Because he says, "V'in chaticha mishtei chatichas." Our Tana holds, which we had a machlokas about this in Chrisos, in order to be chayv in an Ashim Tala, does there need to be something there in front of us that is definitely Isser and something that is not? So the classic case, for example, you have, let's say, you had a piece of chaylev and a piece of shuman in front of him, and he ate one of them, and the other one got lost, and we don't know whether the one he ate was chaylev or shuman. But we talked about over there, let's say you only had one piece over there, and that piece itself was suffix chaylev, suffix shuman, and he ate it. He wouldn't be, according to some opinions, he wouldn't be chayv and an asham tali. Because you need to be, it has to be that the isur is known to be there. It has to be that there's an isur kavua over there. So the same thing over here. So the same thing over here. If you have, for example, let's say you had, if, let's say, for example, there were two women over here, one was Nida and one was not, and he's not sure which one he had relations with, fine, then he's Chayav and Ashim Tali. But over here, where it's the same woman, and we don't know whether she herself was a Chaticha de Isura, whether she herself was an object of Isur when they had relations or not, that's the Tana of our Mishnah says you can't make them bring an Ashim Tali for that. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa holds that you do. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah, what is considered acharzman? We said, when there's enough time for her to get out of bed and wash her ponim shalmata, after that it's considered acharzman.
What's the ponim?
And her lower face, meaning her general area. Okay. Urmini, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Ezu Achazman, what is the definition of Achazman? Pirish Rabbalazabrab Tzadik, really, whatever. Rabbalazabrab Tzadik explained, Kadesh Toshik Yoda Tachas Akare Tachas Akeset. It's a much smaller time than that. It's all that she needs is, while still in bed, she reaches her hand under the kar or the keset. A kar and a keset are two different types of pillows. The kar is a pillow for the head, and a keset is like a cushion for the body. Sort of, whatever, so that she reaches her hand under there, the titel aid, and she takes an aid, which is lying under there, the tibdik, and she does a bedikah with it. That's less time than it takes to get out of bed and wash the area. So the Braisa is saying that you only need a very short amount of time, and after that it's a suffix, and the Mishnah is mentioning a longer time, condition teir min amisa. So what is it? Amr of Chista, so Rav Chista says, you're right. When our Mishnah uses the word achar, when it says ezu acharzman, my achar, achar, achar. You have three times achar here in the Gemara, but you have to, that's how it's punctuated. What does the Mishnah mean when it says achar? Means it's talking about achar, achar. What is the time after the time of osiyim is the amount of time to get out of bed and wash yourself? In other words, Rav Chista is saying that you have the shorter amount of time, which is to reach under the pillow and get an aid and do a vidika. And if it's within that time, if within that time she finds the blood, then there's no question they're both high of a carbon. Then you have Then you have a slightly longer period than that, a period that it could take to get out of bed and wash yourself. If it's within that time, then also still the chayiv, the korban. Only if it's beyond that, which is achar, after the after of the shorter amount of time, which is defined as reaching under the pillow, etc., only then do we say it turns into a self.
And that doesn't matter if it's the deco or wiping the outside?
Well, the pashtus, we said before that wiping outside is the only thing that you could do immediately. Anything longer than that would not be so immediate anymore. Yet. So the question is, Vakatani Allah, what do you mean though? We learn in a braisa in connection with that with that braisa that we quoted with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that the braisa continues, Nimsal Shalala Achazman, if you find our Mishnah says, if you find the blood on her cloth La Achazman, Tmeim Misafik, and they're only Tumim Misafik, or Turim in a carbon, and they're Potter from the carbon, Ezehu Achazman, and we say what is considered Achazman, Kadesha Terim Namita Batadiyah Panel, when there's enough time for her to get out of bed and wash herself. So therefore, so we see that that's already considered achar zman. What kind of achar, like Reb Chisda is saying? The answer is hochikam. You're right. What the Mishnah means, the Mishnah is actually missing words. What it means is like this. Ezehu achar zman. What is considered achar zman is kadesh toshit yod l'tachas akar or l'tachas akeses v'titil aid. When there's enough time for her to reach under the pillow and get an aid and do a v'titil. However, if there was a bit of a longer time before they discovered the blood, but enough time within the amount of time that she could get out of bed and rinse herself, then machloikas Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim. Then it would be machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim whether she's metameis boyala. So if she, so you have, in other words, there's three different things. If it's within the time before she, within the amount of time where she can reach under the pillow, etc., then they're definitely both tummies. If it's within the time after that, but before the amount of time that it would take her to get out of bed and rinse herself, then it's a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva would say that the boil is tummy, and the chachamim would say that not. And if it's after that, then already it's a sopik and he's not tummy. Well, for both the chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, right? So the question is, okay, but what do you mean? The fact is, the Mishnah says, afterwards she's metame last, and he's not metame her boil, and Rabbi Akiva says she is. The answer is, so achakach means only after all that time. The answer is, hachakama, v'zeo achakach, shenachaku Rav Akiva v'cham. The answer is, that's what the Mishnah means. That itself, that sheer, the amount of time it takes to get out of bed and rinse, that achakach is the subject of the machlokas of Rav Akiva and the chachamim, whether if they discover the blood during that time, is he tamei or not.
For Rabbi Akiva,
he is she. He is.
Tell me, what's the amount of time?
The amount of time. In other words, that's what we're saying. As long as it's within the time, Kadesh Terim Namitza, but Tadiyachaneh, Rabbi Akiva would say that. Rabbi Akiva would say that she, that he's Tomei, because we still say it's definite that it happened during Tashmish. And the Chum would already say it's Tomei, because it was more than the time that it would take to reach under the pillow and get it full.
5-6 minutes.
Okay, whatever. It's, I don't know. I think I saw explanations that some of the poskim want to say that it's. I think I saw that some of the poskim want to say that it's the amount of time it would take to walk 22 amos. 22 amos is 22 amos. Yeah, it's a few seconds. Okay.
22
no,
hours
no.
is a few seconds.
22 hours. If it takes 18 minutes, let's say, you have different opinions whether it takes 18 or 20.
At least 7 or 8 minutes.
No, what is people? 22 hours. An hour is a foot and a half. 22 hours. It's 22 hours. It's like 30 feet. Don't take 7 or 8 minutes to walk 30 feet.
It's much longer than wiping your face.
Kadesh, not first of all, not her face, but her genitals. But second of all, yeah. Let's think of it like this. You have different opinions how long it takes to walk a mill. You have 18 minutes, you have 24 minutes. We'll stop over here, but I'm just finishing up. Okay. So like this, according to different opinions, it takes 18 and 24 minutes to walk 2,000 amos, which is a mill. Let's round it. Let's to keep things simple. Let's say it takes 20 minutes to walk a mill, which is about an average of the different opinions. Okay, so if it takes 20 minutes to walk 2,000 amos, it means it takes 1 minute to walk 100 amos. In that case, to walk 22 amos would take about a fifth of a minute. Would take about 12 seconds.
20 minutes for 2,000?
For 2,000. So then it comes out. So 22 amos would be about, 22 amos would be at 12 seconds. Yeah, it would be like 12 seconds or whatever. Yeah, give or take.
That's
okay, that's what it is, yeah.